You're listening to the Cycling Podcast at the Vuelta a España in association with Rafa. Today we are in Col de la Gallina, Andorra.
Where are we, Daniel?
We're on the final climb, Rich, of the day.
Very detailed. What climb?
We're on the Gallina, aren't we? The final climb of the day, of the Vuelta.
Final climb of the Vuelta, of the 20th stage of the Vuelta. Simon Yates defending his red jersey. We were, a few moments ago, in Lee Howard's cafe in Andorra, weren't we? That was very nice. Did you have a flat white, Daniel?
No, I didn't, but you should really explain who Lee Howard is, shouldn't you, Rich?
Lee Howard is a cyclist who he used to ride for Orica Green Edge a few years ago. He also rode for I Am Cycling. And now, I think he's just reverted to track racing again, so he's racing for the Australian national team. Is that correct?
I think so. He's also sporting a hipster moustache these days, as you do when you work as a barista.
Well, he was making the coffees today, so he made my flat white and your double espresso. Daniel, what did you see at the start? This is a very short, intense stage, lots of teams warming up. Astana, we expect a lot from them today. The stage is underway already. Thomas De Gendt is on the attack, of course, trying to defend his King of the Mountains jersey. Lots of action already, but what do you expect?
I expect Movistar to try something very early. Well, in fact, we know they have tried something early. I got some intel from Movistar, not directly from Movistar, but someone who had, I think, been staying in Movistar's hotel last night, that they were going to attack early with possibly with Carapaz, followed by Quintana, and in an effort to sort of draw Mitchelton out and make them burn some matches. Whether that works or not depends a lot on how much Quintana's got in his legs. And it didn't look yesterday as though he had too much. Although Quintana apparently got called back yesterday before his puncture, which then led to him losing more time. So he might not be going as indifferently as it looked yesterday.
We saw already on the first climb that Quintana was having a go, and it was Matteo Trentin marking, which was quite strange to see, wasn't it? And Trentin couldn't go with him, and Trentin may be one of the Mitchelton matches that has burned out already. Well, we were at the Mitchelton Scott bus this morning, or lunchtime really, because it was a very late start to the stage. And I spoke to Damien Howson, who is a stalwart of that team. Really, he's been there since 2013. Still quite a young rider, but he's lived through that team's development as a Grand Tour team. And as I said to him, they stand on the verge of their first Grand Tour win. Here's what he had to say this morning after quite a long team meeting.
We've played our cards perfectly for 19 stages now. It obviously comes down to today. We're in a fantastic position. And it's obviously just talking through as many different combinations of the race, how it could play out and how we're going to respond. So we're all up for the task, and it's going to be an exciting day.
Has Simon surprised you here?
Not at all. I think, he showed how much of a classy bike rider he is in the past, particularly in the Giro and in past Grand Tours. He's just worked on the way that he's raced, and he's shown how if he races smart, he's good enough to be the best. And I think that's the difference between racing so aggressively at the Giro to racing a bit more conservative and in control here at the Vuelta. And we've just got one more day to really capitalise on that.
I mean, you've been part of this team for a long time. What would it mean to this team, having lived through the journey of this team's development and evolution into a Grand Tour team? What would it mean to win this race?
It's going to be massive. Can't count our chickens just yet. It's a very difficult stage today, but the dream of winning a Grand Tour and being a part of that is really amazing. And I've been a part of Esteban's successes, both third here in the Vuelta and second in the Giro, and to get a win and go into tomorrow's stage with a red jersey, you will be phenomenal. So it's a dream come true. We're in an amazing position. We really just want to make the most of that.
I mean, Simon doesn't give a lot away to us guys. What's he like within the team, you know, behind the scenes in the hotel, and what's he like as a leader?
Yeah, I think it's what you guys see is his character anyway. Yeah, you might think that he's a different person on the inside to what he displays to the media, but he is a really calm and collected person. He's calculated, and he has a lot of confidence in himself, but without arrogance, and I think that's what it takes to be a champion, and so far that's working really well for him.
Carlos Verona's turned up. You're not allowed to use him today, are you?
If only we could go back to the nine-man teams at a Grand Tour, but we're here in Andorra, and a lot of us riders from many teams, and our team included, live here myself, and I think four of the guys in this bus also, so we're very familiar with the course today, and we know how difficult it is, but it also could be an advantage to us today.
So that was Damien Housen, who, like all the Mitchelton Scott riders, will have a big job today. They had their other rider, Carlos Verona, obviously an Andorra resident, not riding the Vuelta, but he was at the start today, along with one or two other Andorra residents, weren't there, Daniel?
They were, Richard. Dan Martin was there, I spotted him. Marc Soler, like a ghost, come back to haunt Simon Yates. We all remember, of course, that Marc Soler, well, he and Movistar gave Simon Yates a working over, didn't they, on the last day of Paris-Nice, and dethroned him there. Soler obviously not riding the Vuelta, but I think he lives here, does he? Anyway, he was there in his, was it Dickies t-shirt? Looking very casual and relaxed.
Well, Carlos Verona was in full team kit because he's doing some corporate work with Scott today, I believe. They weren't going to try and sneak him into the race. I don't think that's allowed. Daniel, what do you make of this climb? We're driving up this final climb. It's pretty steep, isn't it? It's not that long, but it's twisty, and on the hairpins, it's very steep indeed.
It is, Rich, and I listened to your podcast the other day about Andorra, but one thing I think we've maybe underplayed when we've been less than impressed with Andorra in the past is the fact that it's a very mountainous country, but it's not necessarily the most classically beautiful of mountainous countries. The mountains themselves are very dark, and they're very steep, and they're very kind of Spartan looking, aren't they?
Austere,
yeah. And this is the part of the area of the Andorra Mountains we're in today, and on this climb is typical of that, isn't it? It's not the most aesthetically pleasing of mountainous sort of backdrops, but the climb itself is very uneven in gradient. A bit like, well, we've had a number of climbs like this on the Vuelta. La Covatilla was similar. It was could be broken down into a series of sort of 200, 300 meter ramps of 10% or more, followed by some false flats. And this climb is very similar in that respect.
You've been very impressed by the standard of amateur cyclists or local cyclists that we're driving up and riding and driving past, sometimes with some difficulty, because a lot of fit people here in Andorra.
Yes, Rich. Well, you have to be a bit of a ski lift to ride a bike here, don't you? You have to be good at going up mountains, and you do notice differences depending on which Grand Tour you go and watch and the mountain stages you go and see. I mean, at the Tour de France, you tend to get, I would say, more casual cyclists who visit the Tour from various different countries in Europe and even further afield. Here at the Vuelta, it's very much locals, isn't it? And in Andorra, as I say, I would guess that you only really ride your bike if you're quite serious about it, because otherwise it's a bit of a thankless task, isn't it? Because it's pretty tough riding.
From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee shops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport.
Thank you very much indeed to Rafa, our headline sponsor. And I'm very, I've been watching obviously the Vuelta with interest, but also the Women's 100 ride, which is taking place today. And we'll be posting some pictures from that later on. Sure, it's been a great success. Big crowd. And here we are at the top of the final climb. And I'm with Fran Reyes now. Fran, you've been sitting up here for a while, taking very detailed notes. And you can just basically tell us what's happened up to now. Not maybe in that much detail, but
yeah,
not kilometer by kilometer. No. Okay. Just highlights. We're watching as, I mean, the race is getting interesting now because Superman has attacked.
Superman has taken off, and he has found up the road the two teammates that he sent into the breakaway, Omar Fraile and Dario Cataldo, who were up there with 50 riders more or less, among which we had Michal Kwiatkowski, David de la Cruz, Bok Mollema, Rafał Majka, and so on. As back in the peloton, the race was a bit lit up in the second climb of the day, Bechalis, by Nairo Quintana, who attacked, then set a huge pace, dropped pretty much everyone but 10 riders, but as they reached the summit, he stopped pulling, and therefore the bunch regrouped again. The climb to Ordino, we saw Asana taking the reins with Andre Sait, particularly brilliant at pulling and slimming down the bunch, and it has been in this second climb to Bechalis, which is the third to last, if I am not mistaken, of this stage, where Miguel Angel Lopez has attacked to find his teammates, leaving behind Simon Yates quite isolated because he only has his brother Adam with him. No Jack Haig, no Damien Halsum. So it is, I'd say, a delicate situation, especially if Miguel Angel Lopez manages to get a good advantage and reach the head of the race, where there is some strong riders like Majka or Kwiatkowski that could well become his allies.
Yeah, I mean, the gaps are still very, very small, aren't they? And it might be just that Simon Yates isn't panicking because it's still all within reach. The race has not opened up. We expected this from Astana. We've been expecting it for a few days. And wandering around the teams this morning, it was interesting to see they were all warming up. You know, Astana were warming up in a line. They looked very organized. Alexander Vinokourov spent a long time with his arm around Lopez, deep in conversation, giving him a pep talk. He needed a lot of belief, you know, because he's still a young rider. He's going all out here to try and do something very, very spectacular. But it's a bold, audacious move, and it's going to make this stage a bit of a nail biter. As you say, Adam Yates is finally coming into his own today. Really, a very useful ally indeed for Simon Yates. Slightly surprised to see that Jack Haig's gone, because he's also been very, very strong as a support rider for Simon Yates. Interesting to see at the, as I was wandering around the teams warming up this morning as well, that the track riders on the Quickstep team, Michael Morkov and Elia Viviani, warming up on rollers, good old-fashioned rollers, with all the other guys on turbo trainers.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, I saw Alexander Vinokourov yesterday. After his training ride, he was wearing a very fancy version of the Astana kit, all black with blue and yellow, almost golden details. He was elegant.
Yeah, I've seen him in that special Astana team kit before. Another team boss who enjoys riding his bike is Dave Brailsford, and I saw him this morning. He'd ridden over a few of the climbs in this area this morning and then met up with the team boss in the compound in Andorra. So let's keep watching this, Fran. It's still all to play for. The gap's still less than a minute. But, you know, this is bold from Astana, and with Fraile and Cataldo, they're two very strong riders who can help Lopez, perhaps.
Que
Well, Fran, as we watch this race, this sort of delicate moment in the race with Adam Yates leading, Simon Yates and Omar Fraile having been dropped, and Dario Cataldo now really drilling it with Superman Lopez on his wheel, and Vincenzo Nibali hanging there. He was one of the earlier attackers today. Another early attacker today was Michael Woods, who was our peddler de charme this week for the final week of the Vuelta, a very popular choice. I went and gave him his peddler de charme t-shirt at the start this morning. He was delighted. Michael, not many people have won peddler de charme twice, but that is the honor that falls upon you today.
I remember Alex House rocking that t-shirt from the tour a few years back and being so jealous of the peddler de charme t-shirt. I wanted one so bad. And now I've got two. I got one up on Housie.
I think also the one we gave you last year was a little bit tight, wasn't it? That was an extra small. This is a small, so it should be a perfect fit.
Oh, perfect. That's wonderful. Unfortunately, the extra small is not, it's not lounge worthy, but I'll be rocking this all the time now.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. It was a very convincing win that you had in Peddler de Charme. More convincing than on the stage that you won.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate all the support, too.
So that was Michael Woods receiving the coveted T-shirt. Someone else I spoke to this morning, Fran, was one of the DSs at Quickstep, Geert van Bont, who's been around for many years. And he was on Garmin for a while. He worked for Garmin for a while. But then he worked for the Quickstep development team, what is in effect the Quickstep development team. And he's a man who discovered Enric Maas. And I spoke to him about Enric Maas this morning. Here is Geert van Bont.
It surprised me. I know he had a lot of talent, of course, and I know one day it would be like this. But so early, it's also a little bit a surprise for me. I think the plan was a little bit like top 20 would be nice, top 15 would be really nice, and top 10 would be fantastic. Now we are top 4, so yeah, it's like it's more than fantastic for the moment. We are only looking day by day. The beginning was like top 10, and then we saw top 7 was possible. But then even when he was top 3, we were thinking about top 6, because then there's a gap afterwards. And now today we will try to go for top 3. I think today he can try to dream about the podium.
You worked with him on the development team, didn't you? How did you spot him? What was it about him that you noticed?
Yeah, especially his talent, of course. I think that was the first thing. Like in Tour de Valdosta, it's one of the hardest races for development riders. And there you could see his talent, but also the way he was thinking, the way he stayed calm, the way he thinks about cycling. So then you notice the difference between the top riders and riders, maybe a little bit there underneath.
And has he coped okay with the pressure that's come with his performance here? Has he dealt with that?
Yeah, that's like I said, that's his strength overall. Like, he's very calm. Like after the race, he just I just ask him, we want to sit down, then we sit down for 5 minutes. He explains his experience from that day. I explain my experience, what we can maybe do better, what he can do better, and he stays very relaxed on it. When he does something wrong, he also will accept it. He will say, no, it's not true. It's, or maybe he's right or I'm wrong. So he always will listen, and I think that's his strongest point in beneath his beside his talent, of course.
Spain's always looking for their next Grand Tour champion. Is he the man, do you think?
Well, it's always difficult words to say something like this. I think you always have to stand with your 2 feet on the ground, and that's always what I'm trying to tell him. Also with the development riders, I always say step by step. I think now he make a big step, but yeah, if you see now how far is he behind. The first week he lost some 40 seconds in the beginning because he was not feeling 100%, he was a little bit sick. If you see now overall, he's 23 years old. Of course, you can speak about maybe a Grand Tour winner, but between winning and third or fourth place is still a big gap. But I think it's still it's a possibility, yes.
That was Geert van Bont. Fran not happy at all that I described him as the man who discovered Enric Maas.
Well, Enric Maas discovered himself, first things first. But now, I would say that the guy to get Enric Maas to the World Tour was actually... did you see that? Vincenzo Nibali pulling with Miguel Angel Lopez. Dario Cataldo has already been dropped, and Nibali is cooperating with Lopez to reach the head of the race, which is formed now by De La Cruz and Maika. Interesting development on the race. But well, back to what I was saying, I would say that the guy who actually discovered Enric Mas for World Tour Racing would be José Fernández Machín. Right now he's a team manager at the UAE Team Emirates, and back in the day he was the head of scouting for Quickstep, and he was running this development program successfully along with Gerd van Bond. And it was him who poached Enric Mas from the hands of the Contador Foundation, and with a good help from Enric Mas' cousin Tony Coulomb, who by the way, Rich, is here at the finish line, so probably waiting from an exhibition by his cousin.
Well, we haven't seen much of him yet today, Mas, but nevertheless, that was the man who discovered Enric Mas, Geert Van Bond, who we heard from a little bit earlier. Fran, that cheering, that ripple of applause there was initially for Nairo Quintana, who attacked going over the top of the climb, and he's got a little bit of gap, but then the cheering got louder and more intense and more enthusiastic, because a tiny little boy dressed in Bora World Champion gear appeared. I saw him at the start, actually, and I tweeted a photograph of him. He must be 7, 8 years old, and he's ridden the entire climb, and that was lovely to see the crowd appreciating his efforts getting to the summit here with his dad there.
Yeah, his dad pushing him a bit in order for him to make it to the finish line. But he was pretty encouraging, you know. It was heartwarming, I'd say.
Watch out for that guy. We should go and find his name in about 15 years. Maybe we'll be here reporting on him winning the Vuelta. Who knows?
Who knows, man?
Back to the race briefly, Fran. The Lopez move came to nothing. The race came back together, and then Quintana launched a counterattack. But one casualty, maybe initially at least, is Adam Yates, who, after the gap had been bridged, drifted back a little bit. He's got a descent to recover on now, but that's slightly worrying, I would think, for Simon Yates if he finds himself completely isolated with still, you know, a lot, I mean, not far, but some very hard kilometers ahead.
Yeah, I think he took it easy at the top of the climb, probably knowing that he had all the descent to recover and crawl back. Indeed, I'd say that he's coming to the head of this the favorites group, and already helping his brother to keep Nairo under a tight leash.
Para beber, tráeme pan para comer, tráeme.
What's going on, Fran? What is going on?
Wow, Asana. Miguel Angel Lopez did really smash the race.
A smash and grab. But he's not done enough, has he? I hope you're good at mental arithmetic, because at the moment we've got Lopez and Mas up the road. Simon Yates behind them, holding them to about 20 seconds. And Kruijswijk behind them. Valverde has fallen way down, so he's falling off the podium. But on the podium, we could have Yates looking good for the win, but then it's Lopez, Mas, or Mas, Lopez, Kruijswijk. It's going to be very close between those guys.
Yeah, I think the fight is right now falling on the side of Mas and Lopez, because Kruijswijk is about 1 minute behind, and the gap he has in his favor is no more than
second.
Half a minute. Yeah, so he's probably going to fall off the podium. He will probably fail to get his first ever Grand Tour podium on his career, which is quite remarkable taking into account his pedigree as a GT rider. And two young guns are going to stand by Simon Yates up there in Madrid.
Simon Yates has judged it well, hasn't he? He didn't go with Lopez and Mas when they were obviously pushing hard, you know, and it's psychologically difficult to get dropped and not to, you know, panic a bit, but he clearly hasn't panicked because he's kept that gap very constant.
Yeah, he was pretty lucid there because he has a 2 minutes advantage on both Lopez and Mas, so he could let them go and ease off a bit. I mean, he had 7 kilometers to lose up to 2 minutes, so he judged well his effort, he paced himself, and he is going to win the Vuelta with a great show of tactical prowess.
Fran, the noise of the helicopters, the thwacking blades we can hear, is a sign that the riders are almost here. Let's go and interview some of them now, shall we?
Let's go.
Chute à l'arrière du peloton. Cycling Podcast team car at the back of the pack, please.
The voice of Seb Piquet there reminding me to tell you that today's episode is sponsored by Harry's Razors. Now, Fran, is my face looking quite smooth? There, yeah. Have a touch of that.
Of course. I will touch it. Yeah, I love rubbing your skin, man.
Nice. Cheers, man. Fran.
Harry skin.
That's a Harry. Oh, I feel a bit unnerved by that. That is a Harry's razor shave with Harry's gel as well that you're such a fan of. Yeah. The Harry's Razors pack, which is available to listeners of the Cycling Podcast, includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave with your weighted, ergonomic handled razor, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade. Rich lathering shave gel, which I've mentioned, and travel blade cover. Exclusive offer for Cycling Podcast listeners. Get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your trial set for £3.95. This is available if you live in the UK. Support the Cycling Podcast, get your trial set delivered to you, including the razor handle, the 5-blade cartridge, the foaming shave gel, and the travel blade cover by going to harrys.com/cycling right now. That's harrys.com/cycling. Fran, we're down, we're off the mountain. Where are we? We're in the same place as we were last night with just as many feral children running around.
Yeah.
Didn't expect this in Andorra, but it's wild, isn't it? It's absolutely crazy. We've got children coming and trying to put us off, but they'll not succeed, will they? We'll be laser focused here.
It was incredible yesterday. You know, you were ice cold. You didn't even get disturbed when these guys...
I offer them nothing. I just remain focused on the job in hand, which is to deliver the Cycling Podcast and to tell our listeners that Enric Mas won the stage ahead of Miguel Angel Lopez, with Simon Yates riding a very, very controlled race behind them. He let them go when he felt he couldn't stay with them, but never let the gap open up too much and did more than enough to hold on to his red jersey. He will be crowned the Vuelta winner in Madrid tomorrow. And one of the bits of intrigue today was, would the mask finally slip on him, you know, acknowledging that he'd won the race? And he said he was very nervous before the stage today. That, you know, certainly didn't look nervous when we spoke to him before the start. He played everything, you know, answered every question with as straight a bat as he always does. But he... you know, there wasn't any kind of show of emotion at the finish, but the only slight show of emotion actually was when he spotted me sitting off to the side after he'd done his press conferences and stuff up at the top of the hill.
Did he rub your skin?
He made a beeline to me and said, "You've got to find." He said, "You guys have got to find a new nickname for me, the Flying Black Pudding." And he sort of shook his head and walked away. But I can tell you, and we've not used the nickname that Lionel coined at all this race, but it's obviously sunk in. I wouldn't say he has very strong feelings about it. Simon Yates as a rider is definitely focused on the things that matter and the important things. And, you know, he's ridden an extremely well-judged race. You know, if there was a mistake at the Giro, it was, you know, just being too eager, gobbling up all these stage wins, making all these efforts that cost him in the end. Here at the Vuelta, you know, I remember, you know, the old adage that riding Grand Tour is about starting the race with a full tank of petrol and using that petrol as economically as you can through the race. And I think he's done that. He's made the efforts when he's had to, but as we saw today, he's ridden as consistently and as steadily as he could.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with the intelligence of his ride today. He never got out of control. The race never got out of hand, not for him, neither for him nor for Mitchelton Scott. And this intelligence of today pretty much reflects the smart race that he has ridden all over these 3 weeks. And what I fancy most about his ride is that he's shown that a rider can ride smart and at the time being aggressive. He has been attacked several times, both with and without the leader jersey, and has never really speculated. He has put very good effort and has won with all the honors one can possibly have when getting a Grand Tour.
And has won with panache, because he is an attacking rider. He can't help himself attacking. We saw it again today, you know, when... and it was, there was clear thinking behind it. He jumped away on the penultimate climb. His brother Adam had been doing a lot of work up to that point. Lopez, Mas, Quintana were all up the road at the time. And the reason he went then was because he didn't fancy chasing those guys in the valley before the final climb. That was why he made that effort. So he made the effort there on that climb, got up to them, so he was with them in the valley. So there was clear thinking behind it. Mentioned Adam Yates, he did... We've seen a lot of him the last couple of days. Yeah. Finally, you know. But he's done a great job, and that was always apparently the plan. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him go on and ride very well at World Championships and at the Tour of Lombardy now.
Well, for me, Adam Yates at this point is the number one favorite for the Worlds, you know, on a close
more
contest.
More than Simon.
Simon has gone pretty deep in these 3 weeks, hasn't he? So that probably will take its toll. It's like with the case of Alejandro Valverde. It's one of the most heartbreaking aspects of seeing him lose 3 minutes at the finish line was the fact that he seemed depleted, completely out of energy, and that's not encouraging when he has the last ever chance he will probably have of winning the World Championships before him. A couple of weeks before him.
Valverde collapsed today, and Quintana, you know, tried to help him up that final climb. But I take my hat off again to Movistar and to Astana for really laying it on the line today. And they knew that Simon Yates was the strongest rider in the race, but that didn't stop them trying. And, you know, in trying and in making the race as aggressive as it was, as Movistar contributed to that, they lost their podium spot. So they gambled a little bit, and yeah, as you say, Valverde just ran out of steam completely. Exactly. Let's hear from Adam Yates, who you are tipping there for the World Championships, Fran. Here he is at the finish. You'll hear the voice of television's Daniel Freeb asking some of the questions. And then let's hear from Matt White, who you spoke to the finish. And I haven't really heard Matt White like this, and I don't know what I expected, but he is normally so ebullient, and here he sounded quite defiant, you know, almost... Like, you know, in this moment of triumph, it wasn't, you know, great, like, celebrate. It was, we've proved all our doubters wrong. And, you know, everyone in sport comes out with this line about proving people wrong and being upset at their critics, even if you're not even aware who these critics are. But, you know, that they feast on that, don't they? They gain strength from that. So here is Adam Yates, and then we'll hear from Matt White.
Yeah, really good. We knew it was going to be a hard day. Most of us know the climbs around here, and we just knew it was going to be real tough. Not just the control, but we knew all our rivals would try and attack us, and that's what they did. But we rode real well. At one point, we had the whole team on the front, and you know, we got three or four guys that aren't even climbers. So real good job by everyone, and one more day to go.
You said you knew they would throw a lot at you. Did you know that they were going to throw that much at you?
Oh, pretty much. You know, when it's the last stage like that, there's no holding back. There's no tomorrow, really, is there? So even if you blow, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, we just controlled as well as we could. Last couple of climbs, I was hurting real bad, but I knew I only had, you know, 20Ks to go or something, so just rode as hard as I could on the front, and that was it. Oh, I was going to thank him for attacking when he did, because I was on my last legs. He asked me if he wanted to go, if he could go, and I said, yeah, go for it. And yeah, that's it. As a team, we rode real well. Even like the strategies from the start, the tactics from the start of like holding me back and saving me for his last crucial week, and it worked out pretty well, didn't it? So it's special, but we still got tomorrow, so ask me again tomorrow.
Yeah, look, it's more relief than anything else. Yeah, we came in here with a great team and very well prepared, Simon. Very well prepared, Simon Yates. And it's just a relief to get it finally done. You know, yesterday was a big bonus for us to take an extra minute there on Valverde. So it was a nice buffer. 25 seconds was not a comfortable buffer with time bonuses. And we saw some big cracks appear yesterday with some of the best guys, and again today.
Yeah. As for today, as was more or less expected, that Astana will try to blow the race into pieces. And there was this moment where Simon Yates was almost isolated with Adam Yates only. Were you afraid that you were maybe losing control at the race at that point?
No, not at all. The race is too hard and too far for anyone to go. And we've seen the level of the climbers here. It's a very small, very small level between the best climber and the fifth climber here. The only guys was Gas when guys were having a bad day. So we're confident that no one from second through to fifth was going to ride away in the distance. And we knew Adam's in great form and fresh. So no, Astana actually did a great job for us to bring the race back closer together. So it was fine.
First Grand Tour ever for Mitchelton Scott. The accomplishment of a long pursuit feat.
Yeah, it's been that in 6 years. Our team has changed over the past, and we've been developing into a Grand Tour team. We've come close before. Now, we lost the Giro on the last climbing stage 2 years ago. You know, we lost the Giro 2 days from the finish this year after winning five stages. I find it quite funny, and people criticise us at the Tour de France about turning into a GC team. We're already there. Yeah. How many teams in the last 10 years have actually won a Grand Tour? Probably five teams. So, and we're one of them now. It's not going to be our last.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport.
Beta Fuel, the new superfuel from Science in Sport, is a 2-to-1 maltodextrin to fructose isotonic drink that delivers 80 grams of carbohydrates per serving without upsetting your stomach. This formulation means your stomach can process more carbohydrates per hour than glucose alone would allow. And this could make all the difference to your ride, whether you're cresting the Alpe d'Huez or just crossing the line at your local Sportive. Available on scienceinsport.com from July the 12th.
Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science in Sport for sponsoring the Cycling Podcast. I'm sure the Science in Sport products came in very handy today on the Women's 100. Some great photos Hannah Nicklin's been sending and putting on Twitter and Instagram from their ride. It seems to have been a great success. What's the code, Fran, for if you want 25% off your Science Support products?
SISCP25.
Nicely done. And that's at the website?
Sciencesport.com. Oh, good.
Well done. That's it. Available if you live in the UK, of course. Now, we heard before the interval there from Matt White, and before that from Adam Yates. I'm sure Matt White will have a good celebration tomorrow in Madrid, but this is the culmination of a long-term plan. And as he said there, they have gone close, but there can be an awful long way between finishing second in a Grand Tour and winning one. And, when Chavez lost the Giro a couple of years ago on the final day, it didn't really seem that close. In the end, it seemed... Nibali won that race quite decisively. Similarly, at the Giro this year, when Yates collapsed, it was in the end comprehensive. And when Chavez has finished on the podium before, he hasn't really looked like winning it. Whereas here, Simon Yates has ridden like a favourite and has, as we said earlier, ridden extremely well, extremely smartly. And they have arrived, haven't they? They've arrived. And Simon Yates in his press conference was asked, who
of the current or the young generation, because it's a very young podium we're going to see in Madrid tomorrow. Yeah. Who of all these guys will be the next Grand Tour winner? And he said, well, I hope it's someone with the same name as me, Adam. And Adam's maybe had a slightly disappointing season, but you know, he's the talent is still there, and it's not beyond the realms of possibility at all that he could emulate what his brother's done.
Yeah, and they have a third guy that I think we will see continue from Grand Tours in the coming years, which is Jack Hake. I mean, even if today he has not really been there in the decisive moments where we might expect him, he has been working brilliantly throughout the whole world, and even today he did his part, he played his part. And he has shown time and again, both in the Giro and in this Vuelta, that he has the climbing ability and I would say even the mental strength as to some time down the road, at some point down the road, contend for a Grand Tour. It is great to see how long-term planning, long-term development and execution always leads to success, always or most times. They have been, Mitchelton Scott has been pretty patient, has slightly shifted its focus every season towards Grand Tours, every season a bit more, and nowadays they are one of the best World Tour teams when it comes to GC. The only point I see where they have to prove themselves is on facing a full Team Sky and seeing how far they can shake them, because it is not easy to tackle a great rival, but above all, it is not easy to tackle a great team like a full shape Team Sky is.
That's really interesting point, though, because a team is only as strong as its leader, you know, and I got a bit of flack for praising Movistar for their efforts on Friday. I thought their tactics, their strategy was brilliant. What all they lacked was a leader who could finish the job off. If Team Sky had done that with Froome or somebody finishing it off, it would have been hailed as a tactical masterclass. It all comes down to the legs of your leader, and you can have the best tactics in the world and the strongest team. Team Sky have had a very strong team here, but they have not had a leader to ride for. And if they'd had a Froome or a Geraint Thomas in the kind of condition to challenge for the win or the podium here, then we'd have seen a lot of them on the front. They were capable of that, you know. And there's so many, teams like that, and it's a brave team that goes out with a strategy like Movistar went out with yesterday. You know, without being fully confident that the leaders had the legs to back it up. And it does come down. I mean, you know, you need a strong team to support you, of course, but you also need a leader who's capable of winning. And usually in a Grand Tour, the strongest rider wins, not the guy with the strongest team. The strongest rider wins. Would you not say?
I would say that, above all, what makes it different is not that much the leader as the focus. I don't think that the lineup of Team Sky for this Vuelta was inferior to Astana Pro Teams. The point is that Astana had a clear leader and a clear focus on supporting him. And
yeah,
today,
absolutely. Yeah.
Today they were amazing. They really blew the race down to pieces with the limited potential they had, but they really did blow the race into pieces. And Team Sky would have been capable of that had they had a reason to.
Exactly.
You know,
if not,
otherwise, it's only putting riders on the breakaway like they have been doing all these days with De La Cruz and Kwiatkowski today, for example, and that completely changes the rate of the performance of the team, the evaluation of the performance of the team, even though the actual numbers, the actual performance of the riders is more or less on the same level.
Well, let's hear from one of the Astana riders, Peyo Bilbao, who, you know, a strong climber, very good rider. I spoke to him at the finish and about the outcome of the day, which, you know, the race can end with Miguel Angel Lopez on the podium in... Sorry. The race is going to end with Superman Lopez on the podium in Madrid, and I wondered whether that would be considered a success for Astana.
May I point out that Richard has said the line again because he wanted to change the name Miguel Angel for Superman. He really loves saying Superman Lopez.
I think in all the Vuelta we've been fighting and risking, no? And that's our team's attitude, and I think that's cycling, and we have to do it like this. This is like we understand cycling, and finally, at least we had the prize of the podium.
Yeah, it was all. There was still a lot to play for today, wasn't there? And can the team be satisfied with finishing with Lopez on the podium?
Yeah, we can be satisfied, I think, because Yates was really, really strong. Also, yesterday demonstrated, so it was difficult to go for the win. We tried, but he was strong. Also, the team helped him really well. They controlled the race. So we can only congratulate them, and also happy with our third position.
So that was Peo Bilbao. And the big couple of disappointments today. Movistar will be licking their wounds, won't they? Really, really, in the end, they go home with nothing.
Realize
a stage win. Valverde won a stage.
Two stages.
He won two stages.
Two stages with Valverde, but that's pretty much leaving empty-handed for a team of the potential and the ambition of Movistar team. I mean, the devastating figure is that they had three leaders capable of winning a Grand Tour, Mikel Landa, Nairo Quintana, Alejandro Valverde, and they have finished the season with no podium.
As Daniel said earlier,
you
know,
Grand
Marc
Tour.
Soler beat Simon Yates at Paris-Nice earlier in the year, and he is a rider of great potential, but we haven't seen the best of him in a Grand Tour yet.
No, because he has been sacrificed on the Tour de France. It was always part of a long-term development plan. They also brought Miguel Indurain three or four times to the Tour de France for him just to learn the ropes and work for leaders in order to build his future Tour de France success. And with Marc Soler, that has been the case. But, you know, further point on this remarkable fact, they haven't made it to the podium of any Grand Tour. The best GC placing of the season for Movistar team in a GT hasn't been delivered by any of his three of their three
Richard
leaders.
Richard Carapaz
in the Giro d'Italia, fourth.
Yeah,
that's
good point.
You know, if you
had
think
bet
to
money
that,
on that,
we wouldn't have bet on that
at the start
that.
Of the year.
No,
you'd be
no.
very wealthy now. Exactly. Another disappointed rider will be Stephen Kruiswijk and Lotto NL Jumbo. He got himself onto the podium on Friday and fell off it again on Saturday. And I guess, you know, he'll be bitterly disappointed. Well, let's hear from him. You spoke to him, Fran, at the finish.
First of all, it was a bit of a question what I could do here after the tour, of course. And during the Vuelta, I started feeling better and better and believing in a good result for the GC. And it still is, but when you're coming so close to the podium, it's a disappointment at first. I didn't really watch Quintana so as a danger, only the other guys. And Lopez was really trying today, and he was pretty impressive. Must be honest, the whole team of Astana was pretty impressive today. And in the end I tried to close the gap in the final, but I wasn't capable of closing in, so then it's a fair game, and I'm fourth.
Well, of course, Steven Kruiswijk has the right to feel disappointed because maybe the final result wasn't the one he expected to be or even deserved to be. But at the same time, I have to say, the way he and Loro NL Jumbo raced in this Vuelta a España will deliver a lot of success in the future.
Well, I spoke to Richard Plug, their general manager, at the start. We'll maybe hear a bit of that interview tomorrow, because they're a team, there's a lot to admire about that team, and it's a bit like Mitchelton Scott, where there's clearly a project, a plan to develop a team capable of at least challenging for Grand Tours. And we saw at the Tour de France and again here that they're getting there, and they've got riders who are capable of being at the front of the mountains, setting people up. But the question is always, as I said earlier, you need a rider capable of winning a Grand Tour. And there aren't many of those. There aren't many riders in any generation who are capable of winning a Grand Tour. Yeah. That's just a fact of cycling. And Simon Yates is about to join their ranks. And that is quite remarkable, really. I mean, I remember sitting here in Andorra a year ago, when the Vuelta came here a year ago, and we had quite a long discussion about the Yates twins in that episode early on. And there was a feeling that almost it was like make or break for them, that they had, you know, turned professional and made this big splash and plateaued a little bit. And there was a question about whether they were going to kick on and really develop into, you know, podium riders and Grand Tours. And here we are, a year on. And Adam Yates, you'd say, still has not fulfilled the early promise he showed as a rider. But Simon Yates certainly has this year, and he will win the Vuelta tomorrow in Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, they are, I would say that they are already established as marquee riders for the world of cycling. You know, like two guys into the top 20 of the world nowadays. And that's a pretty remarkable fact, above all because it comes from a very risky bet, both from Mitchelton Scott and from the Yates twins, because let's never forget that they decided to not follow the path that is more or less established, that it is the easy one to follow for any British rider, of joining Team Sky and growing within their ranks. They decided to chose a different path, and it has led them to success.
Yeah, I mean, if the rumours are to believe, then Simon Yates was offered a contract by Team Sky, but Adam Yates wasn't, and they wanted to stay together, and so they joined what was then Orica. But certainly, once they, you know, showed the kind of riders they were, Dave Brailsford at Team Sky wanted to, in his words, bring them home to Team Sky. And it's really interesting because I spoke to Brailsford this morning. We were talking a bit about Egan Bernal. And they are, you know, trying to tie him up at the moment to a very long-term contract. And it's funny to think that a couple of years ago, Brailsford had his sights set on the Yates twins and bringing them back to Team Sky. And he's obviously given up on that completely. And so the Yates are set to continue their path with an Australian team, while Team Sky seem to be betting the future on a Colombian rider.
Yeah.
It's quite surprising, but it shows how, you know, because I guess Mitchelton Scott are the same in a way, that they set up as a very Australian team, as Australia's team, and they've sort of drifted away a little bit from that into far more international setup. And maybe Team Sky are going to do the same, because you have to go where you have to go in the direction of riders who are capable of winning Grand Tours, and they obviously think Bernal is. And you can't just magic these people out of nowhere. They're very rare.
Yeah, but they right now in Team Sky we have maybe five potential Grand Tour winners who have never won one. You know, it is very interesting how this team takes such much talent on board. I have the feeling that it is a matter not only of having as much talent as the team as possible, as for avoiding that talent to become a rival in the future. You know, if you had Egan Bernal in your team, tied for a 5 years contract, you know that he's not going to be racing against you for the next 5 years.
And that might be the longest contract ever in cycling, I think, 5 years. I'm not aware of a longer or a contract
with
5 years
with a team, no.
Just before we go tonight, a reminder that next week we'll do our final press conference episode from the Vuelta a España. There'll be certainly myself, Lionel, Bernie and Daniel Freib. Leave a voice memo at the number, this is on WhatsApp by the way, +44 7971 338 205. That's +44 7971 338 205. Leave a voice memo with your question and we'll endeavour to answer as many as possible in our episode next week after the Vuelta.
Fran, yeah. It's time for us to part.
No, please don't leave.
Do you want to touch my face again? Is that, yeah. will that help? No, you're heading to Madrid. I'm actually going to Girona. I'm going to go do a few interviews with bike riders in Girona. I'm avoiding Madrid. It's become a cycling podcast tradition now to avoid the final stage. We didn't go to Rome for the Giro. We didn't go to Paris for the Tour. We're not going to Madrid. But you'll be in Madrid. Daniel Freeb will be in Madrid. So we're going to get something from you tomorrow. And we've got a lot of other material looking back on the Vuelta. And Lionel and me will feature in tomorrow's episode as well. But now it's time for you and I to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And for me to thank you very much for the last 2 weeks, which I've spent with you, more or less.
Yeah, it's been quite a good Vuelta, and I hope it is not the last one.
Hope not. Safe travels, Fran.
Same, Rich.